dead accurate on a lot of things. I don't particularly agree with them in the sense of proclaiming God as their eyes that governs their church. Right on their museum. I don't have no fear of this. Right on their museum down there, they have a pentagram. Right on their museum. There's a lot of things in the LDS faith. When I came here, I came into a situation to where I lived with LDS people. I came here with nothing, Mr. Bell. I came here to prove how an evil person can go into a society, embed themselves into the working order of that society, and use and take total advantage to get what I needed to sustain myself. I joined the LDS Church because at the time I needed a place to live. I will do anything. But yes, the LDS people are pretty good people. I like a lot of what that they do out there and how they motivate themselves to financial gain and to motivate themselves to working and doing what it is that they do. Mm-hmm. Until someone in that organization comes to me and says, okay, what we are is actually a part of what you are, then I will shake their hands and help them fulfill their goals and fulfill their promises. But as long as they proclaim God, they are my enemy. As long as they proclaim Christ in the form that they see him as, they are my enemy. As long as they do that.
All right. He ends up after those two questions saying, tough questions. So far, she's answered everything like a fundamentalist Christian. I'd be very curious to see if she continues to tell the truth or covers up two of Satan's greatest lies.
Mr. Bell, mm-hmm. Like I said, I draw the line nowhere. Satan's lies are Satan's truths. He must lie. He must be deceptive. He must have a diverse heart.
And so then must you as a follower.
That's exactly right. We have a saying, by any means necessary, and we don't use that as a loose phrase or a term or something. It is reality with us. By any means necessary. I have went into churches, like I said, I've been from coast to coast, and I have been to these churches. And have sat in their congregations. I have become active in their churches without anyone ever knowing that when I went home, I worshiped the devil.
Why would you go to a church service? For what reason?
To lay seeds, to lay a foundation of evil. I take great pleasure in creating havoc in the life of a God believer in any form or any religion. I take great pleasure in it. Satan uses me that way. Art, I have left where I sustain myself with virtually nothing, alone, with only my cunning and my diverse thoughts, my wicked tongue, and hitchhiked alone, young woman myself, alone, across this country on interstates in the middle of the night, in order to spread unholy seeds. And I have effected, sir?
I just shivered. You have hitchhiked across the country spreading evil in what form, Harlot?
Lust, adultery, fornication. I take great pleasure in destroying a family. I take great pleasure in, like I did right here, take a Mormon out of his home and put him in my lair, grabbed him, sucked him in. He lost a child and a wife, and he's living with me now, and I take great pleasure in having him lay on my unholy sheets by me every night.
Is he hearing this?
He's in the war room, what we call the black room, right now.
The black room?
Mm-hmm, that's where we practice unholy arts. As a matter of fact, my entire coven is here.
Across America, mm-hmm. Harlot, how many covens like the one that you have there exist, do you believe?
I believe that there are many, but I think a lot of them, out of that they're not prepared yet to actually come out publicly. I think they live not so much in fear, but they're just not ready at that point in time to make a difference and to impact the area that they live in.
Why are you coming out publicly? Why are you ready to say all of this?
Because I have a purpose, and my purpose has been let known to me in visions. My purpose, I am being primed for an ascension. I have a ritual coming up here before All Hallows Eve that is of the most unholy kind. The only victim in this ritual will be me. I am the victim. I will be alive. No, nobody's going to behead me, and nobody's going to do that. I will be alive. It is a part of my ascension. For years as a child, Art, I would cry in my bed at night. I would just cry in my bed, feeling sorry for the devil and what God did to him. As a child, I would wake up screaming in the middle of the night, hating God, virtually hating God for what he did to my master.
All right, this should be interesting. Harlot?
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. Dear Art, welcome back, Art. It seems to me that Harlot has solved her guilt and identity crisis. The belief of Satan and hell is a crock. It is an excuse for all the wrong she has caused in this world. Mm. How do you react to that?
I react to that by saying these words. I and I alone am to blame for all my sin, for all my actions, and all my dirty deeds. Done dirt cheap. I and I alone must suffer the consequences thereof. Mr. Bell, I for years have been asked that question. And people just don't seem to be able to grasp the fact, the outright fact that I am able to boldly state my damnation. Mm-hmm. I am not guilty of a crisis. I am guilty of my words. I am guilty of my actions. Mm-hmm. I am guilty to be sentenced to eternal death. Said and done. And I freely accept it. I have had a lot of traumatic events in my life that have, yes, they have swayed me in one way or the other, like the death of my son, Mr. Mm-hmm. L.
Sure.
But just because of the death of my son, I don't hang this, God, it's your fault. The death of my son was meant to be. I wake up sometimes, Mr. Bell, with a longing for my baby, for my 5-year-old child that was taken away from me by my husband, who I am no longer with. By his hands, he took the life of my child, and I will never forgive him for that. He is no longer on this earth now, and I will never forgive him for that act. But that did not thrust me into this satanic belief of mine. This is something that I longed for even as a child. It was my birthright. There was a time when me and my brother, I'll never forget this, we were on a trip one time, and he was praying to God, and we were young, Mr. Bell, and I got down by him on my knees, and my big bro, years older than I and so forth, and was looking at me, and I was sitting there, and I said, my little prayer. Then when I got through saying it, just out of nowhere, I went, "Hell, Satan, hell, Satan." He jumped up off the floor, and he looked at me like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I looked up at him, and I just went, "I don't know." And I ran and crawled in my bed, and I threw the covers up over my head out of embarrassment. It was something I didn't even plan. It was something that was just so, it just happened, bang, right there. It just happened.
Mm-hmm. There are people, many,
mm-hmm.
Harlot, who will say what you're saying represents not a religion, not a belief, not a worship of that devil that you say you worship, but mm-hmm. rather a mental illness.
That's their prerogative. My parents, when I was 18, you know, 18 or 19, did take me for examination.
Mm-hmm.
They took me to many doctors and many things. I was hooked up to more machinery than is what seemed like, in my eyes anyway, than an auto body shop had. They did brain scans. They did different things on me and so forth and so forth. And
what did they, come up with?
Well, I walked out of there with no pills, no nothing, and, well, what the people told my parents was two things. It's something that science cannot grasp at this time, or she's telling the exact truth. That girl is not holy by any means.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the doctors told my parents. It's on paper. My parents have it.
They took you to doctors. Did they take you to priests?
I eat them alive. I have walked into priests. I have sat and talked with them in conversations, and they know. They do not touch me. They do not pray over me. They just talk to me, Mr. Bell. They just talk to me, and we share feelings, ideals. We talk about reality with God, what's coming in the world, and Satan.
So you think, then, that you are, as we discussed earlier, that you are perfectly possessed?
Mr. Bell, in front of your audience, the millions, whatever are listening, Christ said something in his scriptures that I take to virtual heart, that Christ says, whoever denieth me before men, I will deny before my Father. I deny Jesus of my body and of my soul. And I deny him of a right to have any governorship over me, any authority over me, period. I deny him the right of my heart. That way I will be assured that he will definitely, and I do everything in my power, each and every breath I take, I definitely want to be denied in heaven. I want the second death. When the numbers of the sands of their numbers are like the sands of the sea, when they surround the encampment of the saints.
All right. Harlot, hold on. We'll be back to you. It's the bottom of the hour. I'll begin taking calls after this break. Because, believe it or not, I'm almost at a loss for words. Absolutely incredible. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 23rd, 1997.
Soul's like a wind.